This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. We begin today in the Seaport, where the 5th annual Hub Week is underway. Massachusetts Congresswoman Catherine Clark helped kick it off this afternoon, and we grabbed some time with her after to talk about that and the news out of Washington this week. The news includes a New York Times report that on a recent phone call, President Trump asked the Australian Prime Minister for assistance in a Department of Justice investigation. The DOJ was looking into the origins of former special counsel Robert Mueller's own investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election. Congresswoman Clark told us how Democrats are responding to that and other developments.
We are discouraged to see that this seems to be a pattern with this president, to ask foreign governments to interfere in the election and to do investigations in favor for him. And it gets back to the core of the whistleblower complaint and why we have opened this impeachment inquiry. We have a president who is abusing the power of his office to ask foreign governments to investigate private American citizen in the case of the Ukraine. And that not only is an abuse of power, it is a betrayal of his oath of office, and it puts into jeopardy the integrity of our elections. Never mind, it's a national security issue for us as well as for our ally, Ukraine.
This is, I wonder if you see the Australian Prime Minister call as similar to the Ukrainian President call, only in that the Australian Prime Minister call doesn't seem to involve going after private citizens, and the Justice Department had already launched some kind of investigation. Do those distinctions matter?
You know, I think we are focused on the whistleblower complaint and the outline that gives us. But it does matter that this president seems to routinely put himself above the law, use the powers that are vested in him by voters for his own self-enrichment, for his own political advantage. That's at the crux of this. He is not above the law. And this, you know, this type of corruption is one that isn't going to be tolerated by the American people. And it is one that calls for the very serious action of opening an impeachment inquiry, something that nobody in the Democratic caucus did lightly or joyfully. But we felt it was our constitutional duty to take this next step, given the dangerous behavior of this president.
Speaker Pelosi resisted beginning an impeachment inquiry for quite a while. You've been in support for quite a while. Why do you think the speaker decided at this time to go ahead and do it?
I think because this is such a clear-cut case. We have a president who, again, has jeopardized our national security and has admitted so in a White House that is not does not have as its hallmark truthfulness and transparency. Their own release of a memorandum, a summary of the transcript, showed that this conversation happened, that this president asked the president of the Ukraine for a favor, to put, you know, to look into and dig up dirt on Joe Biden, who is his leading presidential opponent. That is such an outrageous violation of everything that we hold dear. And a violation of his oath to faithfully execute the office of the president.
Congresswoman, I'd like to move from the president to some of members of his administration. We talked earlier about the call the president made to the Australian Prime Minister. He reportedly made that call at the behest of Attorney General William Barr. What do you make of Attorney General Barr's role in this whole landscape we're discussing?
Attorney General Barr seems to have forgotten that he works for us, that he works for Americans, that he is not supposed to be the lackey of the president pursuing debunked conspiracy theories, that he should be working on protecting civil rights, enforcing the laws of our country. And to see him on apparently some sort of worldwide journey to pursue the latest theory of this president is an abuse and a corruption of the Department of Justice and his position.
You say worldwide journey in reference to things like a trip he reportedly made to Italy, as well as the Australian Prime Minister, et cetera?
That's exactly right.
So let's also talk about Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. It's being reported that he was listening in on the call to Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. This is something that he seemingly denied having knowledge about a few days ago when he spoke with ABC News's Martha Raddatz. Here's what he said when she first asks him what he knows about the complaint.
The Wall Street Journal is reporting that President Trump pressed the president of Ukraine 8 times to work with Rudy Giuliani to investigate Joe Biden's son. What do you know about those conversations?
So you just gave me a report about a IC whistleblower campaign, none of which I've seen.
Now, obviously, he's not under oath. He's speaking to a member of the press. But what do you make of his response to Raddatz with that question?
Well, obviously, that wasn't even really a comprehensible response because I think that he didn't know what to say when faced with a question that he knew he was on that call. And we can surmise from the evidence we're starting to see that this call was handled in a very different way than a call of this nature usually would be. In the words of the whistleblower, it was put in lockdown, a separate, highly secure setting to keep it out of the hands of other government officials and certainly the public. So that will be something that we look into. We look into how this call was treated. But at the heart of the question here is an abuse of power of this president. And again, his willingness to jeopardize our national security, the willingness to jeopardize the integrity of our elections for his own personal gain, that is the abuse of power that we are investigating. That is why we did not have a choice but to open an impeachment inquiry.
You mentioned that the Secretary of State, Pompeo, didn't sound like he knew what to say there. He definitely found his voice today. He sent a letter to your colleague, Representative Engel, the chairman of the Foreign Affairs Committee in the House, saying in part, quote, "I'm concerned with aspects of the committee's request that can be understood only as an attempt to intimidate, bully, and treat improperly the distinguished professionals of the Department of State," end quote, and went on to say that he, quote, "will not tolerate such tactics," end quote. So the Dems have subpoenaed Secretary Pompeo. He planned on hearing depositions from 5 State Department officials just on the Ukraine call. The first was scheduled for tomorrow. What's the party willing to do if Secretary of State Pompeo or others from this administration just aren't going to cooperate with the inquiry?
You know, we have the power of the Constitution and of the very seriousness of impeachment proceedings on our side. But it really is something to watch Secretary Pompeo talk about being bullied at the same time that we have Donald Trump calling Adam Schiff a traitor and saying he ought to be arrested for performing his job as chairman of the Intelligence Committee. To have the president calling for civil war, really trying to turn
That's when he retweeted that tweet that said there would be civil war if he were impeached.
That's right. And, you know, trying to turn Americans against each other so that we don't look at his actions and we don't look at what he has done here and the abuse of power that that this call represents. And so we're going to follow the leads from the whistleblower complaint. We will do what we need to do. We are sending out the subpoenas. We are requesting depositions and documents to see where this leads us, because we're going to pursue the truth and we're going to put the facts before the American people.
To that point, what would you say to critics who would respond, there's something to this bullying language Secretary Pompeo is using, because the Democratic House has been trying to impeach the president on one front or another basically since he came into office?
Well, that's simply not true. We have been doing our constitutional obligation to perform oversight, which has been met with unprecedented stonewalling by this administration. And we have been pursuing that in the courts and winning. But it is a slower process. And what we have now, I keep going back to the Office of Inspector General for National Intelligence, who said this whistleblower complaint is urgent and it's credible. And that symbolizes a very different type of allegation, and one that we felt we did not have any other choice but to pursue an impeachment inquiry, give us the constitutional powers to make sure that we can get to the truth and that we can put the facts before the American people.
Congresswoman, speaking of urgency, as we speak, federal Judge Amy Berman Jackson is holding a hearing over whether to immediately intervene in the Trump administration's record-keeping practices. We know the whistleblower complaint includes the White House's efforts to lock down all records of the Ukraine call. Do you think this kind of immediate intervention is necessary?
I do. I think that we need to act fairly. We need to be sure that we are thorough, but we also have to make sure that we are acting expeditiously as possible. We have presented to us with credible evidence that there has been a true threat to the integrity of our elections by this president. And in a little over the year, we are going to be holding presidential and congressional and local elections throughout the country. And we need to do everything we can to make sure that those elections are secure. And one of the reasons that I came out for impeachment in July was Mitch McConnell's absolute refusal to take up a bill that allowed states to help, to give them money to help secure their election processes and the ballot. And I just, at that point, said, we need to make sure that this administration, that we are using every tool we can to get the truth out and to protect the core of our democracy, which is the ability to have every vote count and to be free from foreign interference in our elections.
Okay, so you are joining us from the Seaport. You're at Hub Week. I do want to talk about that for just a minute. I know you just finished your presentation. You were part of the opening session, which was called The Pursuit. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
We live in this incredible ecosystem of innovation, and it is exciting. It is important to the future of health, of transportation, of combating the huge challenges we have before us with climate change, income inequality. All of these issues are, we have incredible scientists and innovators working in this area to create those solutions for these very real challenges ahead of us. And how do we partner with government? What is the role? And how can we help each other create those solutions for the future?
That's Massachusetts Congresswoman Catherine Clark, who represents the 5th District. She's also the vice chair of the Democratic House Caucus. Congresswoman Clark, I appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Stay with us. Coming up, leaked audio shows Mark Zuckerberg taking on Elizabeth Warren. I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston.